Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to keep the screen down tonight so we can see scriptures on the screen. I'd like to turn your attention to Psalms 11 and verse number 3. Psalms 11, verse number 3. It says, "The foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The word foundation here in the Hebrew means the moral basis. Moral basis. If those foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then Proverbs 28 and verse number 10. Says, "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this evening, God, that you would instruct us according to your will to understand what is necessary for us to be in your will. We ask your blessing and anointing. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I receive on a monthly basis a magazine. It's the IBC Perspective. It's the Indiana Bible College Perspective. And it has some great articles in it. And yesterday when I received it, I always look at Brother Mooney's articles because they're really profound. You know, we look at our congregation and we think, well, we're this group of people that are here in Caledonia and we serve God and maybe we're a little different than everybody else throughout the world that is under the banner of the United Pentecostal Churches. So it's good for us to understand what's going on beyond these walls, that there are literally millions of people who are standing for the same thing that you are. The United Pentecostal Church is the fastest growing church on the face of the earth right now. Literally, thousands are receiving the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. And it's not just in the United States. In fact, we have more churches outside of the United States right now than we have in the United States because people are more apt to accept truth where things aren't as easy. So I am going to read just a little bit of this article from Brother Mooney, who is the Assistant General Superintendent. He's also the president of Indiana Bible College. He is also the pastor of one of our largest churches in the United Pentecostal organization in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we need to hear what great men of God say about our stand for God, because sometimes we think we're doing this by ourselves. And we need to understand what the organization believes, not just a handful of churches. And so I'm going to read some excerpts of this Unconstitutional Revelation is the title. And what it's really saying is we want to tear down the Constitution, not of the United States, but that's happening right now. There are people who are taking liberties and they're saying we no longer need the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States. We want to be different than how we were established at the very beginning. But what he's saying is there are people who want to do away with the Constitution, God's Constitution. He's saying this: "We all know that we are at a profound and dangerous intersection, and some have already made strange turns. Many of our beliefs that have been long established are being uprooted, not just in the church, but in society as well. Presently, it seems that the spirit of the world's revolution is a mindless disposal of all foundations. Nothing is sacred." He quotes the scripture that I had us read in Psalms 11 and 3. "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" To my apostolic Pentecostal friends, We cannot choose to be silent in this great time of revolution. We cannot continue on in our own worlds, obsessed with making disciples unto ourselves and just hoping that everything will work out by default. What wakes me up in the night is this question: where are we going? Do we possess convictions strong enough to constitute, by definition, what is the right doctrine? Are we prepared to define holiness and righteousness in this present world? Do we ignore the Bible and yield to a spirit of an unconstitutional revolution, defined by cool, defined by our own intellect, or defined by imitations of some charismatic personality? His watchman, and he's quoting Isaiah 56 and 10, it says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleep, lying down, loving to slumber." What if cleverly using the arts of spiritual interpretation, we deconstruct the old paths? What happens when we dismantle the Bible? Who writes the new one? Who has the power to say, go this way? What if we compromise on Acts 2 and 38? What then becomes the new essentialities? Perhaps we would feel no need for any essentials at all. How clever and useful these revolutions can be, a tool for deconstruction and evil in the hands of the wicked. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the righteous shall have good things in possession. Proverbs 28 and 10. I need to read those things from time to time, because sometimes perhaps you might feel that it's only our conviction and not millions and millions of people who espouse to and gravitate to and will cling to this Constitution, and we will not discard it. We'll stay with it. Amen. Please listen to me for a second. As your pastor, I would say nothing to hurt anybody in here or to make it harder for you to serve God. It's never my intention to make the way narrower or limit the liberties that we have in order to serve God. If I saw something in the Bible that, well, we have a choice in that area, my intentions are only to ensure everyone's salvation, and that can only come from preaching undiluted Bible, the Word of God to everyone. And I admire Brother Mooney, and I admire Brother Bernard, who is our general superintendent, because they are straight shooters. They're telling it as it is, and we all make our own decision. Not to hurt anyone's feelings, but to keep everyone's safe. And that's the goal of the church. You see, this has got to be a safe place, a place that you know. 10 years from now, you can walk in here, hear the same preaching, have the same walls that are up, and the same presence of God that moves in this place, not change because the world has changed or we adapt some social gospel that is more convenient for people. God said in the end times, his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs who can't bark. And that's an indictment against pastors. It goes on to say in verse 11, "Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own ways, everyone for his gain from his quarters." Harsh words in the Bible concerning people who are in charge of the Word of God. God hasn't changed his mind in order to fit this generation and the way we want to live. And the problem that we have is we're always conforming to someone. I said something to that effect in our Bible study last night. I said, you know what? We will accept every kind of lifestyle except a Christian lifestyle. We're the only ones who are criticized because of our holiness, because of our separation, but everybody else takes their liberty to have any kind of lifestyle that they want, and they're applauded. Take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah 2 and 5, please. Zechariah 2 and 5 says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." Now he's talking about each and every one of us, that when we get the Holy Ghost, there is a wall of fire that God puts around us, and he is in the midst of us. It's also talking about the church. The church has a wall of fire around it, and God is always right in the middle of it. Glory to God. Then Isaiah 26. And verse number 1, it says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." So God has appointed salvation for a wall that is around us in order to protect us. Job had a hedge put around him in order to protect him. Why? Because of his righteousness, you see. Everything that God owns has a wall around it. Everything. The church has a wall around it. Jerusalem has a wall around it. We've been to the walled cities. There are gates. When we get to heaven, the Bible says heaven is going to have a wall around it, and there are going to be gates. There's going to be 12 gates in it. And then Isaiah chapter 5. And verse number 1, it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked, and it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray thee, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come a bearer and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel," or today the church, "and the men of Judea his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place." God's saying that he's going to take away the walls because his people haven't done what they ought to do. A song of God to his beloved people It describes how God loves us and puts a fence around us, a hedge around us. He gathered out the stones and provides us with all that we need in order to be fruitful, all that we need in order to be happy. And God's saying, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done? What more could God do in order to make us happy and content and satisfied with our life? Wherefore, when I look that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild or poisoned grapes. The fruit wasn't the right fruit. Verse 8 says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. David said in Psalm 62 that God's people are slain because of bowing walls and tottering fences. God has always had a people to himself, a vineyard garden of his beloved, that he put a fence around to keep them separate from the rest of the world. Not that we can't get out, but the world can't get in. But we are a social species that want to mingle with all those outside the wall. We have a tendency. You know, I've never seen anything happen quite as fast as what we see on Facebook, because people want this social aspect of touching lives all around them. And I believe, just like books and just like videos and a lot of other things are good, but you can take it to a point where it just becomes horrible. It's all about discipline, folks. Those things aren't wrong. It's just how are they being used. Yet God warns, woe unto them that join house to house and field to field. In Numbers 32, Moses was getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And the tribes of Gad and the tribes of Reuben came to Moses and they said this, we want to stay here and not cross the Jordan. We will build a fence city right here. I know that once we cross the Jordan River, there's going to be some battles. And you know what? In 40 years in the wilderness, we kind of like it here. I mean, we've gotten used to it, and there certainly isn't going to be any kind of battles here. And so we, Moses, would like to stay here with our families and our flocks, and we'll build a fence around it in order to keep us right. We have many cattle and herds, and our children will be safe here. In Numbers 32 and 6, it says, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the hearts of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them to see the promised land. Remember the report that they brought back? Well, there's giants in the land. We couldn't possibly go over there. The battle is too big for us. Why don't we just stay here? And they did for 40 years. Some people always want to be safe and blend with their surroundings. Oh, they think that they can build in their own protection. You see, we will watch over our children and our property. We'll be safe enough without crossing over. I'll protect my own family. I know maybe it's not right, but I'll protect my own family. Don't worry about it. Numbers 32 and 16 said, and they came near unto Moses and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. Some people never get it. It is God that protects our families. It's not us. And the way we protect our family is file the Constitution and the promises that God has given us. If you want to take the risk and go outside that and not follow the Word of God, well, listen, you're not going to protect them, because one day, you're going to find your children are going to join the fields and the households of somebody else. Job had this hedge around him. It was put there by God because of his righteousness and because of his obedience. Some parents don't want to have to battle with their little ones. You know what? I've seen parents just love God and follow the concepts and precepts of God. But when their kids get to the teenage year, when they want more liberty, then all of a sudden we're rethinking all of these things. Situation ethics. Sometimes, instead of fighting about the dress, well, we'll join the society. It's easier in their fence city rather than in the city God has created. There's always a battle when you cross over to Jordan. And, I had no battles really concerning righteousness before I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, there's this conflict that comes. It's twofold. I know the enemy wants to tear us away from what we've made a commitment to, but then God is also causing us to be stronger because of the battle. And God knows that. But God said in Isaiah 5 and 8, "Woe unto them that join other houses and other fields. The tribe of Gad and Reuben didn't want to fight the battles. Let's make friends with the world and protect ourselves and our little ones." It just doesn't work that way. We need fences that God puts up, that only God can put up, protections that only God can put up for each and every one of us. It's the only way. And I know how important this principle is in the church, and that is why I'm constantly working on fences within this congregation, because it's more important for me to see you make it all the way to heaven than to have this church filled, every pew filled, with people that really aren't ready, and they don't even know it. A fence sets boundaries, and the better the fence, the more easy the boundaries are recognized. It's so easy when you see the fence. Now, unless you have actually built a fence, you can't have the proper respect for the effort and the work and the time that it takes in order to build a quality fence, And most people don't want to be restrained in any way. As a boy on the farm, I knew all about fences because farms are all about fences. You have property lines, you have fences, you have all kinds of fences. Electric fences were a shock to me. Chicken wire went up fast, but it rarely kept the chickens in, I remember when our kids were little, we went to the Wisconsin Dells and rode one of these ducks, these army surplus ducks that could go in the water and on the land. And I remember we were coming to a very big cliff, and they had chicken wire up, and the guy on the microphone said, "Don't worry, folks, we're getting close to the cliff, but if that wire can keep chickens in, it certainly can take care of a duck," That. Barbed wire ripped a lot of my clothes and a lot of my skin because I was trying to cross the fence when we had the farm. But many years ago, I really got an understanding, and I've talked about this before. Many years ago, I bought a welder and a bunch of steel and put up a wrought iron fence around my house, and it took an entire summer in order to weld it. My wife kept telling me I can't do it, which really motivated me to do it. There are lots of people who tell you can't build a church with a fence. It really motivates me in order to build a church that has a fence, you see. She said, just go down the road. There's, Jensen Metal Products. They can do it for you. And I said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And I have some scars from some slag that landed on my arms, and not really knowing what I was doing. But what a beautiful thing it is with the spear points and spacers and all of that. Ranchers will tell you, you must first build a fence before you can buy the livestock. I've been to Mexico many, many times. And what's outstanding there is people will buy property and they'll build a wall or a fence around the property before they ever build a house. You go to Nigeria, the same thing is. They build a wall around the property, beautiful front gates, before they ever build, because what they want to do is protect that which is inside the walls. Glory to God. Pastors can't build a congregation and later decide to put up holiness. Can't do it. Well, we're going back to holiness now. We've decided that we've been wrong. Really? You know, you can't close the barn door after the horse is gone, because you're not going to get that horse back again once they experience the freedom of other houses and other fields. Hallelujah. Ministers must first have fences in their own lives before they can ever consider putting a fence in somebody else's life. Building a corral for other people. There is nothing worse than a crooked fence. The Word of God will set every fence straight. It's not the way we want to build it. Let's put it up fast so it can come down fast. It's got to be God's fence, and it's going to take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It can't be shaken with anything that happens in the world. A rancher knows that if you are raising certified Black Angus, something that's very expensive, you don't want an old dairy bull coming into the pasture, you know, because you want to protect the pedigree and the line of what you're going to produce in there. People with good holiness standards just don't have the problem that people with no boundaries do. When there is no fence, all sorts of things can dilute the breed. After pastoring for over 27 years, I am amazed by the power of a good fence. I've had people say to me, "You don't understand the chaos that's in my life." And they're right, because I built a fence of morality in my life. "You can't understand the financial strain that I'm under." No, I can't, because I built my fence around tithes and offerings. You see, there are certain fences that God says, "I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect your family. I'm going to protect your finances. I'm going to protect you against chaos that comes in your house because you put up a good fence." The Bible teaches us that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I just read this morning that some lady drove through a lion park. I'm not sure even where it was. I think it was in America. And they say, "Don't roll your windows down." Well, they want to get a little closer to see what's out there. And before she knew it, the lion was inside the car and took her out and took her life, all because she rolled the window down to get a better look. I don't want a better look, folks. I really don't. That lion is also looking for a hole in the fence, and once the devil is on the inside of the fence, there is no defense for us, you see. Once the lion got inside this lady's car, there wasn't anything that the driver could do. Fences are not legalism. They're protection. Hallelujah. When we were in Cabo San Lucas, the first time we went down there a number of years ago, we took a long ride in a rental car to Todos Santos, or All Saints, and it was all desert and cactus, and it was driving along the coast, and really, it was very remote. You saw very few buildings there, and we could see vultures way off in the distance circling, and when we came close, we found that there was a horse that was hit by a car in the road. And a little ways further, I had to slam on my brakes because there was a whole herd of goats that were crossing the road, you know? Why? No fence. Freedom almost got them killed. And sometimes that freedom allows us to join other lands and other houses, and it can get us killed. We're not going to a monastery in some remote place that, you know, we isolate ourselves. No, we have to be in the world, but we have to understand there are certain conditions, there are certain things. God does not want us to touch, not so he delivers us from pleasures, but because we're taking a risk, you see. Ever see a cow or a sheep standing in knee-high grass? I have seen this, with his head through the fence, reaching for that which is on the other side. What's wrong with you? You got all of this luscious grass, and you're sticking your neck out to something else in order to get a couple of bites of grass that is on the other side of the fence. Generally, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, it's because there's a septic system there. I'm telling you, we're fooled by something that is, well, one of the frustrating aspects of pastoring is a constant mending of fences. You just fix one hole in the fence, and then there's another that shows up in a different pew. But I am determined to have the best fence in town. You know, in the Bible days, if a city did not have a fence around it, it was not considered a city. And it's true, if you're a church that doesn't have any kind of fence around it, I wonder if God really considers it a church at all. I remember being in Texas at a general conference a few years ago, and I was driving, my wife was in a meeting, and so I was driving around the city, and they had this huge sign up, and it says, "Come and see our church without walls." And so it was, they're having open-air church, and they had no walls. And they thought, well, that is the best thing there is, you know, no restrictions whatsoever, and there's even some around here. But I'm determined we're going to have a fence, and do we have the best pasture? Why would we want to stretch our necks to a place to reach something that isn't good for us? Oh, if you could only taste what we have. If you could only experience the freedom that we have on the other side of the fence. Most animals will stick their heads through the fence to eat. Goats, however, have little horns, and it allows them to stick their head through the fence, but for some reason, there's something wrong with their brain because they can't tilt their head to get it back. And so they stick their head through the fence, and now they're stuck on the other side, and somehow the farmer or the shepherd has to come, grab its head, twist it, and pull it out of the fence. Otherwise, they're going to be there forever and ever. You know, when we were in Israel, what I loved is when we went to Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, just like they were 2,000 years ago. And they may have 100 sheep. And it was mountainous, and they had certain paths that they went on. And what the shepherd did is the shepherd got out in front, and all of the sheep would follow the shepherd. He was never behind them beating the sheep. Come on now, you gotta do it the way I want you to do it. No, he was leading the sheep, and they had enough confidence in the shepherd that he was going to lead them to a pasture that was better. Now, from time to time, I understand there are some sheep that, well, they just rebel, you know. And so what would the shepherd do? This, I thought, was amazing. Sometimes they would break the leg of the sheep, and then they would put the sheep over their neck and carry them around for a month until the leg was healed. And then there was this bonding between the shepherd and the sheep, and no longer would they stray ever. You know, sometimes God will allow some trouble to come into our lives in order to bond with the authority that he has set in the church in order to keep you in the place where God wants you to be. Some years ago, I walked in my backyard, and I was very disturbed because in the fence that I had built, there was a little fawn, one of these spotted fawns. It was so young, it got its head through the fence, but it couldn't get its hind parts through the fence. It struggled to the point where it died in the fence. And I thought, how sad, you know, trying to get someplace that it shouldn't be, and it died. I don't want anybody to be in that position in the church, halfway between where they're supposed to be and where they want to be. There isn't anything on the other side of the fence worth stretching your neck out for, folks. It just isn't. Most people understand there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction in this world. It really doesn't fulfill anything. I'm around a lot of people who have a lot of money, and they're not happy. They really aren't. They don't know what their future is going to be. Fences preaching holiness are not forms of legalness. They're not legalism. They are protection for God and God's people. He puts a wall of fire around each. If we could only see through spiritual eyes and see what God does in order to protect that which he loves and paid for, purchased with his own blood, you see. When we left tonight to come to church, I locked the doors. I did. Not so I couldn't get back in, but somebody else couldn't get back in. You know, not so later when we go home and turn off all of the lights, I lock the doors again, not so my wife can't get out of the house. It's so nobody can get in the house, you see. I mean, if I came home tonight and I found somebody sitting at my table eating the food out of my refrigerator, they wouldn't be there very long. I wouldn't tolerate it. They don't belong in my house, not... You see? And there are some who can't stay in the congregation of the righteous. Some that don't want fences. Isaiah 5 said that he loved the church, and that is why he put a fence around the church for our protection. One last scripture found in Deuteronomy 22. If the musicians would come. Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 8. It says, when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement or a fence for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house if any man fall from thence. And so the houses back in those days always had a flat roof in the Middle East. There was very little rain. They used it sometimes for a place in order to recreate, to have social gatherings. It was there where Peter had a vision of God with an apron that came down from heaven. He was waiting for dinner to get done. But if you're going to build a house, according to Deuteronomy, according to Moses, he's saying, hey, these are important things. We all know what verse 5 says. But he said, verse 8, listen, you better put a fence around it, because if somebody comes up, a guest comes up, and they fall off the roof and they die, you know whose fault it is? It's the person who built the house. We're building a house here for God. I take that serious. And you know what? You should take that serious. Because there's a lot at stake. Your salvation is at stake. Your family is at stake. The prosperity that God wants you to have is at stake. Healings are at stake. Miracles are at stake, because we have to build the house the way God wants us to build the house. Otherwise, he may not occupy it. Now, we can apply it to a church as a corporate body. But we can also apply it to our lives, because this is the house of God. And we need to build it according to the specifications of the Constitution of the Lord Almighty. And today there are others who want to go by a different constitution. It doesn't matter what this book says anymore. But if you really want to get the best joy and contentment and satisfaction like we heard on Sunday night, if you want all of that, you're going to have to build your house according to the instruction that God gives us. Otherwise, we're going to be so frustrated because we're not satisfied the way we want to be satisfied. Just going through the motions and not seeing the manifestation of God in our lives. Most of us have come out of denominational churches. We know we went through the motions, had a form of godliness, but denied the power of God. We didn't have the gifts of the operation of the Spirit in the churches. We never saw miracles. There was no major moves of God, only because the house wasn't being built the way God wanted, and he wanted to occupy something that he could say, that's my house. Cathedrals being built all over, but God said, no thanks. I think I'll take up residency in her or in him. But you better keep the house clean. Better build it the way I want you to. Once you deviate from that, he's the landlord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we're at a state, church, in our entire organization, where we're at an intersection, just like Brother Mooney says, that we cannot make the wrong turn at this point, or there's going to be devastation within the Church of the Living God. I really believe it's important. I believe that this church is at an intersection, a point. I believe that all of our lives are at a point where we have to make the right decision and stay with the old landmarks. But Pastor, you know, I think we could really have a lot more people if we didn't build such high fences. No. You see, that is not our judgment call. It's God's judgment call in order to build the church the way he wants it, you see? Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we'll do. Would you stand with me? I've had so many people say over the years, well, that's your opinion. And I love when they say that. I really do. Really do. Because then I take this old black Bible out and I show them, that's not my opinion, that's God's opinion, you see. And when you deviate from this word, then it's got to be your opinion versus. You know, Eve got herself into trouble because she started to quote God. She said in Genesis, the third chapter, and God said, we could not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, nor could we touch it. The first time someone misquoted scripture, and because she misquoted what really it said in the Bible, I believe that serpent pinned her up against the tree and said, look, you're touching, you didn't die. You better be careful about what the Word of God says, because it's there as a fence of a protection for each and every one of us. And I'm glad we got a constitution that's not going to change. It's a declaration of not captivity, but independence for each and every one of us. We can be free. Amen. To enjoy our lives, because we're not going to be ravaged by a lion that can come into our house and take that which is ours. Glory to God. If you believe that, why don't you clap your hands tonight? Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?